Welcome to Morning Invest on this October 19th. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on the show today, we're going to talk about Bitcoin launching an ETF futures. I mean, this is a pretty big moment for Bitcoin. I'll look at the Bitcoin chart in just a second, but really skyrocketing. So what does this mean for like larger monetary policy? Where should you be investing? We're thinking about your family, your retirement accounts, all of those things. We're going to look at this because the markets are moving this morning.
And all those student loan payments that were put off during the pandemic, they're going to be put back on. What does that mean for borrowers, for lenders, and what is that going to mean for the rest of the economy?
Yeah, and why isn't student loan debt being canceled? Like, this is what Elizabeth Warren wanted. This is what Chuck Schumer wanted. So we'll talk about that. And also this morning, we are going to talk about the federal ethics probe into the Federal Reserve. Like, why in the world did we just learn last night that Jerome Powell apparently sold millions of dollars in stocks as the market was tanking?
Also, Clayton, do you want to live forever like Irene Cara?
Sometimes I thought about when you're younger, you think, yeah, I want to live forever. But yeah. Now that I'm older, I'm like, hell no.
Well, there are technologies now that are being invested in by some of the fancier billionaires of the Silicon Valley. And we're going to talk about that, whether that's desirable for us and whether it's desirable for them.
Yeah. So do you want to live to be 1,000 years old? Morning Invest starts right now. Top of the muffin to you. Welcome in to Morning Invest on this Tuesday. It is Tuesday, October 19th. Tomorrow is our anniversary.
Yes, it's our wedding anniversary. So after this, we're going to take ourselves shopping.
Yeah, is that what we're going to do?
I mean, it's such like...
without the kids?
What's that movie? We're going streaking with Will Ferrell.
Back to school? Old school?
Old school. It's like that where he's talking about marriage. He's like, I don't know if we're going to get to Bed Bath & Beyond. We might not have time. Like, this is actually what we want to do together when we get a babysitter. Go to the outlets.
And then have dinner.
Did you guys see that This Is 40, I think it's called? About
marriage? No, I never saw that movie.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I did.
Oh, yes.
It's a Judd Apatow movie, I think.
Yeah, it's Paul Rudd and I can't remember the girl's name, but that is such a funny movie.
Yeah, I think about that movie a lot. There's this line where he's like, your wife's great. Her hair always looks different. And I was like, why do boys like that?
Her hair always looks different.
I was like, that's funny that a man...
Your hair looks
that.
Different today.
Thank you. It's ponytail day.
It's ponytail day.
You'll get one of these a week when I cannot be bothered with a blow dryer.
Exactly. So whenever ponytail makes its appearance, then that means that Natalie was running late.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have time.
If I took this out, I'd look like a troll doll.
Right. For me, I mean, I always just look this way.
Whatever. Took forever to blow dry that out.
Yeah, this hairpiece sticking up. All right, let's get to the news this morning. Let's talk about what's going on with Bitcoin this morning, because this is the day, folks. This is I honestly think this is kind of like the day where Bitcoin finally, in some ways, comes out of the shadows and really enters the public square. Yes, millions of people invest in Bitcoin. Yes, even people that you might not think invest in Bitcoin. But the fact that a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund is launching today, a futures fund, changes the game, changes everything, in my opinion.
Right. So the new fund is called BITO, B-I-T-O, right? And we want to make sure that you understand what an exchange-traded fund is and why this legitimizes Bitcoin.
It works.
Because it doesn't necessarily mean that now new investors are going to own Bitcoin. Absolutely, they won't. An exchange-traded fund is much like a mutual fund. It's a collection of things all inside one ticker, right? And so if you own, let's say, a mutual fund based on green stocks, you own whatever the mutual fund managers are investing your money in, a pool of money, right? You then pay taxes and pay fees every time they make a trade. Exchange-traded fund works much the same way. It just has much lower fees. So nobody who buys into this will own a coin. They will own futures based on Bitcoin that the fund managers buy and sell, right? So do we have here, if you want to pull up the prospectus of this?
I couldn't get a PDF
into the thing. Never mind. But the thing is, Bitcoin investors don't care much about this. They don't want to own BITO. This is for newbies who want to kind of put their toe in the water and see how this performs. But Bitcoin investors are excited that it exists, right? Because it kind of puts off the people who are like, is this just a fun game that, you know, crypto right. enthusiasts do? No, now it's traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
And also this morning, we should mention, you know, as a sidebar note on this, that Ethereum is about to have their ETF futures approved, nipping on the heels of Bitcoin. It's not far off, according to Coinpedia. The Star crypto is the talk of the town with its near all-time high, growing adoption and approval of futures ETF. So they're hoping for more of a spot ETF, not just a futures, so they would mm-hmm. actually have closer to the actual coin than they would. I remember our favorite accountant, Tom Wheelwright, saying when he was asked about real estate, right? You can become a real estate investor, you can buy real estate, you can invest in real estate, the actual thing, right? And there are things called REITs, right? Real Estate Investment Trust, REITs. So very often people say, well, shouldn't I just invest in a stock REIT? Like, why, instead of real estate, it's easier, right? I can just like go to, TD Ameritrade and just invest in a REIT, right?
Right, you could. It's kind of like, I hate to use this term, but it's like for dummies, you know? Like, yeah. You don't want to do the research yourself. You don't want to follow Bitcoin every day. And for some people, that's good for their mental health. They right. should not follow the charts like this, right?
Right?
Clayton can take it. Not everyone can.
Right.
So if you invest in a fund in this way, you don't have to. You sort of set it and forget it. Because this type of investing, it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market, right? So for people who want to invest this way, it's great. For someone who is interested in actually timing the market, it's a very different animal.
Right. And so if we look at, Bitcoin price right now, it's at 62,000 on CoinMarketCap, 62,681 yeah. Even this morning when we put in the newsletter together, it had just crossed 62, but then dropped back down to 61. So all, you know, heading towards its all time high at 64,000.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing continues to go. And you know, I saw a couple of people yesterday saying that it's likely to hit 100,000 before the end of the year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, $100,000 Bitcoin.
I just find this like, I'm so excited about it. I'm all a Twitter just because I like the idea of legitimizing, obviously, a coin, like obviously the sort of grand poobah.
Well, yeah, a currency, you know, that brings hope to millions of people. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of the underlying thing here. That's one of the reasons why we cover it on the show, is that when we look at the U.S. government that's printing money like it's going out of style, right? Mm-hmm. $28 trillion in debt. And I often use the joke about, you know, the Monopoly money board the Monopoly card, if you bring it up, that says, you know, the bank, what happens if the bank runs out of money in Monopoly? Well, guess what? The bank never runs out of money. Just grab slips of paper and write down additional money for your Monopoly game.
I have done that.
You know, and we have done that, right? So they can just print money as much as they want. With Bitcoin, you get 21 million. That's mm-hmm. a finite number of coins, right? That's it. No more can ever be printed or created. Like, that's it. It's a finite number. And it brings hope to millions of people around the world.
And does the banking system work like... So, you know how the banks can loan out about, what, 10? Well, now there's no limit. It used to be like 9 times what they had. But yeah, if they can loan out unlimited amount, yeah, if they can loan out unlimited of what they have, isn't that in a sense them being able to print money? Because let's say they released more. If every bank got together and they released more than the Federal Reserve has even printed that is in circulation, then what happens? Like, can they can do that, right? Because there's no, they're not like, they don't know when they're loaning out this money how much money is actually in circulation that they can loan. So that's right. Like overinflated anyway.
And by most estimates, the amount of money that exists in the American economy is 96% of belief system. That means for all the money that we buy, sell, and trade in banking transactions, only 4% exists in currency. And wow. That is shocking, right?
That's
right.
Amazing.
So then it is an agreed upon belief system that you and I have, that David, I paid you into your account and you believe that those numbers have value, right? And you take that money and you spend it somewhere else and someone else believes that number, those numbers have value. But almost none of that money ever exists in like physical form.
Well, I'm reading it.
Well, this like, exists.
22%.
I'm just saying, like things that exist.
Right.
22% of the U.S. dollar that's in circulation was printed in 2020.
Right.
Oh my God. Where did you find that?
Yeah, we did it on the show, right? We did it on the show a few months ago. But yeah, most of the money that we are using now is printed within the last year. Like, think about that. You think that the United States currency system is sustainable? You know, again, if you have your future tied to the U.S. currency, the U.S. dollar, I say you need to get your head examined, and I really mean it. Like, you really need to get your head examined.
I like to think about this idea of money as a shared belief system, and then look at what's happening with Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin now is also a shared belief system that everyone, Bitcoin came from a white paper. Like, one person said, theoretically, this could happen, and it started to happen. And people believed it. It was like a call to arms, right? And so, absolutely, everything you think about money matters 100%. It matters because we have created a digital currency based on shared beliefs. It matters because your paycheck that's direct deposit has to be based on a belief system. So be careful with your thoughts about money. They absolutely make a difference because it's an energetic currency before it's anything else.
There's a great book on this actually called A Happy Pocket Full of Money. Mm-hmm. I forget the author, but this is, you know, a lot of people share like different wealth creating books, you know, the Automatic Millionaire, or one of my favorites of all time is Rich Dad Poor Dad. But there's a book called Happy Pocket Full of Money.
And it's by David Cameron Gagandi.
Gagandi. And have you ever read it? Or you just did the good Google search for us?
I did a Jamie for you.
Thank you.
It is
an amazing book. How would you describe that?
Yes,
book?
I think that what I just said is a good sort of regurgitation of his theory, is that everything you believe about money, it's, you know, very much like The Secret and what New Age thinkers believe, but he's an economist. And when you really realize that so much of money that you think that you're chasing doesn't exist, and that your belief systems matter, I do think that it changes. I feel like it changed a lot of how I deal with currency and how I think about currency as a result of my energetic direction.
Richard Blackstone says, I've read it and it's fantastic.
Oh, great.
All right. Good.
Book club.
Yeah. Good book club. So again, BTF. BTF.
Beto.
We should call it BTF. BTF.
Beto.
Bitcoin ETF launching today. Bitcoin futures. And again, it's one. You know, it's three steps removed from the actual asset itself. You just need to remember that. If you're thinking like, oh, I'm excited about investing in this ETF, you're not actually holding the coin. You're not actually owning Bitcoin. You're multiple steps removed away from the actual asset itself.
You are legitimizing it. You're in the game, right? Yeah. You're in the arena. You're not on the stage.
And I think I'm more considerate of why this is bigger. This is fantastic for the larger cryptocurrency ecosystem, and how it's an empowering moment for so many people. And it really legitimizes these coins. So that's my thought on that.
You know, Bito, B-I-T-O, reminds me of when the Minions, like when our kids play Minions, they're like, Bito, Bito. So maybe we should get a sound effect for that, for whenever we talk about this.
Okay.
If we talk about it a lot more.
Okay.
This is something we talk about a lot, student debt. The deadlines for the delayed student debt payments that have been put off all throughout the pandemic are now coming due. Now, President Biden had extended these deadlines through January of 2022, and he was warned he better not do this again because there were inklings that he wanted to. And now what happens? Nobody knows. Now, there was rumblings about how at least some balance of these student loans would be removed, $10,000, $50,000, up to $100,000. None of that ever happened. All that really did happen was a pause button and now a restart button, which is really tragic because we had the opportunity to make lasting change throughout the pandemic and nobody took it.
Right. So this Politico broke this story last night. It says, you know, the Biden administration is developing plans for how it's going to restart federal student loan payments early next year, when the pandemic's pause on monthly payments for tens of millions of Americans ends, according to documents obtained by Politico and sources familiar with these plans. The Education Department is eyeing proposals that would give borrowers new flexibility as they face student loan bills for the first time in nearly 2 years, such as an internal grace period for missed payments, the document's sources show. Now, of course, Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who had, was out there in front. She did multiple multiple interviews where she talked about ending student loans altogether.
Now going to go vote. So
that's Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking about this. Basically, she called it like an epidemic of student loan debt and why we need to eradicate student loan debt. And she said pretty emphatically that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, has the power of the pen to eliminate $50,000 in student loan debt or federal loan debt, all the way up to 100% of federal student loan debt. She held a press conference with Chuck Schumer where they stood out there. I mean, this was a pretty big moment where she was with Chuck Schumer saying, hey, we need to eliminate student loan debt. And Chuck Schumer saying, yes. And the president we know can do this with the flick of a pen. So what happened?
But the president has been cagey about it since. He indicated on the campaign trail that he was for student loan forgiveness. And then since he's been elected, he sort of shrugged it off in a town hall saying, no, I'm not for that. My kids had student loan debt and they paid it off. And I think you can too, was basically what he had to say about it.
Let's watch.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
All Americans.
Me too.
The American dream is
now going to vote.
Watch this.
So student loans are crushing my family, friends, and fellow Americans.
Me too.
The American dream is to succeed, but how can we fulfill that dream when debt is many people's only option for a degree? We need student loan forgiveness beyond the potential $10,000 your administration has proposed. We need at least a $50,000 minimum. What will you do to make that happen?
I will not make that happen.
Nope.
Thanks, Mr. Confidence.
I'm not for that anymore.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I mean,
it's like, okay, he's dishonest before he's elected. He's honest after, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm for it. I'm absolutely for eliminating student loan debt, you know, transforming our country. Now I'm elected. $2,000
checks will go out next week.
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
It depends on whether or not you go to a private university or a public university. It depends on the idea that I say to a community, I'm going to forgive the debt, the billions of dollars of debt for people who have gone to Harvard and Yale and Penn and schools, my children. I went to a great school. I went to a state school. But is that going to be forgiven rather than use that money to provide for early education for young children who are come from disadvantaged circumstances? But here's what I think. I think everyone, and I've been proposing this for 4 years, everyone should be able to go to community college for free. For free. That's cost $9 billion, and we should pay for it. And the tax policies we have now, we should be able to pay for it. You spend almost that money as a break for people who own racehorses. And I think any family making under $125,000 whose kids go to a state university they get into.
Okay, none of that helps that lady who just asked that question.
Joe, I got to say, you're making a lot of sense there. You're really making a lot of sense.
What was that about racehorses?
Come on, man. Sorry, Joe. I bet that's the truth, man. Like, what the hell are you even talking about?
I didn't say it. Why are you looking at me?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that shouldn't be. Sense.
That's right, Judge. I don't get it. I mean, so I really can't wrap my head around this. This is one of the most.
I do feel like every missed opportunity. I'm sorry. Everything we didn't do during the pandemic is like, it's just such a tragic. We had all of these opportunities to make real change.
Right. And it's not even pandemic related. Like, this is a stain on the American education system, right? This is a stain on America. Yes. When you can go to Europe, you can go to other parts of the world where you get free university and great universities, in many cases, better than American universities. You don't waste 2 years regurgitating the same stuff you did in high school for the first 2 years, you know. You get to start right in on studying the degree that you want. No student loan debt, excellent schooling and you get to come out and become a doctor, lawyer, and not have student loan debt.
Yeah.
Here's an opportunity for the President of the United States to wipe, with an executive order, wipe away all of the student loan debt at the federal level. That's $1.6 trillion of federal debt. I'm not talking about private debt because he can't do that, right, at the private level, private schools and so forth. But the $1.6 trillion, and he's saying, we basically can't afford it. We need to use the money that we have available to go to early childhood development, early childhood education.
Yes. So you, as a parent, I mean, the lady literally said, we're all crushed under our student debt. We cannot sustain it. And he's like, sorry for you. I'm sorry you did that.
So am I. He's like, so am I. You think I'm kidding?
Yeah. Right. I've got lots of student loan debt. What are you, 82 years old? You have student loan debt at this point? Like, that should tell you if that's the case, Mr. President.
Right. Now, if that lady would have said she's paying for it with three jobs, and like, only in America, you're working three jobs, paying off your $80,000 of student loan debt, you're swimming in debt. That's awesome. That's America.
Right. But then what he also says is, well, that's because they're choosing expensive schools. You could go to a state school, you know. And so then what he's saying is private schools with these fancy degrees are only for wealthy people. And anybody else who dares to dream to go to a private school, you know, you've made a bad choice. Sorry, that's on you.
Right. And then, the question is, so I get that part of it. Like, okay, you went to Penn, okay, but you also went to Penn and you had the grades to get into Penn, but you didn't have the money to get into Penn. So you took a federal student loan to get into Penn or Princeton or Harvard. So you have a life-changing opportunity to go to one of these incredible Ivy League universities, but you've got a federal student loan that now you have to pay back. What does it matter? I mean, why does that matter?
Well, it matters. I mean, it's something that everybody has to take responsibility for. Yes, okay, I succumb to the marketing of like this dream to go to Yale.
Right.
Me and my family did. And so we got ourselves into debt, but also the marketing is allowed, right? It's like marketing credit cards to 18-year-olds. And the for-profit system is allowed. So everything that feeds into this is not like setting young people up for success in the way that many other countries do.
Yeah.
Well, and to celebrate, you know, like to show like our like what we feel we should do is vote him out. We've got these sweatshirts now in the store. I think we should vote for Brandon in 2024.
Do you have them in front of us? Oh, yeah. Do we have them in the store? Vote for Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, let's go, Brandon. I rewatched that clip yesterday again from the reporter, and I love that it's now become like the number one meme in the world. Do you have it up on the screen?
Yeah, it's up there.
See this on my screen here. It's so weird. Like, on my confidence monitor, I see the chat on the side of the screen and nothing that you're putting up there.
You can see it there.
There, yeah. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see there that in the feed, in the stream.
So we've got blue and white and black versions. We got t-shirts, sweatshirts. So if you want to go pick
Let's
one of those.
Let's go Brandon up in 2024. Oh, man. Go check them out in our store. Yeah, go to morninginvest.com/store. Morninginvest.com/store. All right, we've got more news to get to here on the show. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Ultimate Ears. Ultimate Ears Fits. You know, if you're one of these people that's like looking right now, you think, I need a Christmas item. I need something that will blow away a family member who has been looking for, you know, the ultimate fit for headphones. Someone who doesn't have or has difficulty getting those, you know, other types of headphones in their ears. I won't mention any names.
My father.
Okay. They don't fit. They don't work. They hurt. Well, Ultimate Ears is amazing because what you do is it's true wireless custom fit earbuds. They do all of this in about 60 seconds. They'll send you the kit. You form it to your ear. You put it in your ear and it'll start to mold to your ear in about 60 seconds. It'll like a purple light will turn on. And it will harden to your specific ear. That way it's sound isolating and it fits perfectly to you. Everyone has a different ear. Like, you have two different ear holes, don't you?
That's from piercings. That's not from.
Oh, but we all like. Yes. I feel like slightly different. Like on how many people watching.
I think the human body has all variants in each side of. Like, there's no perfect symmetry.
Right.
Like they say, your right hand is bigger than your left. But yeah. But then this is awesome too because no one can borrow them. Right. Because that's gross. You should not share AirPods.
Yeah, so it's groundbreaking light form technology. They fit right to the unique contours of your ear. You put them in, you connect to the app on your phone, and you watch the purple LEDs from the earbuds on to take your unique shape. With 8 hours of continuous playback on a single charge, up to 20 hours with the charging case, Ultimate Ears fits are perfect for listening to your favorite shows like this one while you're out taking a walk. So it's you can play and pause music, answer phone calls, all with built-in controls, and use the free app to set custom actions like a voice assistant, volume adjustment, and more. Now you're going to get 15% off. Perfect Christmas gift, everyone paying attention right now. All you need to do to get a limited time 15% off your pair of Ultimate Ears Fits True Wireless Earbuds, go to ue.com/fits and use the promo code INVEST at checkout. So UE, like Ultimate Ears, ue.com/fits, F-I-T-S. Just use the promo code INVEST at checkout. You'll get 15% off with the promo code INVEST at uefits.com/fits. Our thanks to Ultimate Ears. All right, what's next on the old rundown here?
All right, we're going to talk about how Jerome Powell sold between $1 and $5 million of his personal stock as the economy was tanking in the fall of 2020. We are now only just being made aware of this through SEC disclosures, and people are saying, ain't that funny.
People like us who are saying ain't that funny, because if you're selling more than $1 million of stock as the market was tanking, and this is on the heels of the other members of the Federal Reserve, who in some, both two of which have now resigned.
Yes.
After this ethics, you know, after this information came out that they were investing in stocks that they basically had a direct umbrella control over.
Well, they have a pilot's eye view of where we're going, right?
They know that they're going to be funneling $120 billion in stimulus money to this particular company or this particular company.
Right. Right? They do know that. They don't know what Congress is going to do. They did not know whether the stimulus bills would be voted upon up or down. So we'll give them that. And maybe it begs the question, should they be investing at all, right? Is it fair to hold them to certain standards? Or, you know, do they have to disclose right away what the rest of us, what they're doing, so the rest of us... We'll do it too.
Well, why are we just learning about this now? This is the thing, right? So we knew about the other, three other senior Fed officials have faced serious criticism about this for making stock trades. We had Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. We had Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren. And then you had Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida also came under fire for stock trading. And now they're under investigation by the SEC.
Is there an argument to be made, though, that they don't want to tank the market by disclosing these sales?
If they're going to take a board membership, a lot of these guys come from Wall Street ahead of time, right? They worked at hedge funds. They were a part of the, you know, of these different funds. They were a part of these different companies and private equity firms. Then they become Fed chiefs or Fed chairs, et cetera, in these different. They should have to give up these stocks. Or be putting them
but
in a blind
trust. But it was an index
trust.
Fund. Okay, blind fund. Yes, blind trust would solve a lot of this. But it's an index fund.
So if they put it in a blind trust, you'd be happy about that?
I suppose I would.
Yeah. What is a blind trust then? I mean, you know, if you have a blind, if you take your stocks and stick them into a blind trust, is that then blind? Like, you know what you stuck in there, or is that not how it works?
I think you have a manager, a project manager.
So just to say that that person's like investing in certain things.
I suppose so. But I mean, again, I'm just playing devil's advocate, because if he had told us on October 1st of last year, hey, I'm selling off all my stocks because it's just going to get bad right now, then would he have been responsible for causing a panic?
Yeah.
So, yes, I think the sort of a good solution to this is that they don't have front seat management, or like, you know, for an IRA, we're required to have what they call arm's distance.
Right.
Right.
But why are we just learning about the Fed chair in this? I mean, you know, again, he didn't come out and say this. He's held a couple of meetings now in publicly in front of the Senate and in front of the House Banking Committee, right? So he's sitting there, and we only learn about this because documents were released about this. You know,
because of the personal tax filing extension date, do you think?
I don't know. Which was last week? From his personal account on October 20th, 2020. Okay, so this is well after the pandemic was underway. And according to disclosure forms reviewed by the prospect, Powell's sale of shares from a Vanguard Total Stock Market Index fund had not been previously reported. And this sale occurred right before the Dow Jones average suffered a significant drop.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, how does he get this? How does he know? Like, wow, there's probably a big drop coming up here in the next few days. I'm going to sell off $5 million worth of stock. You don't just do that unless you know something.
Well, of course he knew something.
That's
right?
Illegal. I mean, to me, that's unethical. That is where he is 20 steps ahead of average investors who are like watching our show, right? Mm-hmm. Who are watching our show and who are thinking about investing. You don't have access to that kind of information.
Absolutely not.
He saved himself millions. He made profits, locked in those profits, and sold, and then the stock market tanks.
Yeah, I'm not.
Are you defending him?
No, okay. I'm not defending it. But I do think that. Well, I think we should let him defend himself.
Okay. Well, yeah, he can defend himself. He's welcome to come on the show and defend himself if he wants. But I'll read further on this because, as the prospect reports, there is no American with more insider knowledge about government policy that drives financial market movements than the chair of the Federal Reserve. And as COVID caseloads, hospitalizations, and deaths spiked last fall, the economy was in a precarious condition. October turned out to be the market's worst month since March.
Also, this was like hours before Donald Trump was diagnosed with COVID, which also tanked the market, if you recall.
Right. So, I mean, did he know something, right? Did he have insider knowledge that, hey, President Trump has COVID?
I doubt it. Trump's COVID case was broken by a reporter. They were not trying to...
Man, I bet McDonald's stock tanked that day.
Because he can't taste or smell.
Yeah. He can't get his quarter pounders. I don't know. I think, you know, in a speech, it's pointing out that he sold it on October 1st, and then a speech on October 6th, after his sale of the stock, Powell warned that failure to enact stimulus could have tragic economic consequences. The expansion is still far from complete. Too little support would lead to a weak recovery and unnecessary hardship. And then, not too long after that, the markets tanked 376 points on the same day.
Again, Trump's diagnosis was that October surprise, though. You'll remember the markets tanked on that news. So I do not think Jerome Powell knew about that. I don't think. But I don't know. Maybe they're besties. And they're like Fitbit buddies.
Get your stein of water. Rehydrate.
Thank you. Stop it with the water.
I just don't even know how you can lift that
thing. I carry it around. That's why I got these guns.
Yeah, I was going to say, look at the bicep. Look at that.
Welcome to the gun show.
Don't be jealous that you have to refill your water bottle. I'm going to, you know
she's
what I'm
like,
going
to. She's like Steven Crowder's like mug club, right? And she's like, that's not a mug. This is a mug.
This is a mug.
Yeah. I've never tried to put hot water in it. But
no, that would crack it. You can't do that.
Before we go to the next story, a lot of people are asking about the Brandon thing. Can I explain that really quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there was an NBC news host that was talking to a guy named Brandon who had just won NASCAR. And she was talking about him. And then the people in the crowd were chanting. And she's like, oh, they're even chanting. And so they went to the crowd and they were saying, F Joe Biden. But the reporter said, oh, my gosh, they're saying, let's go Brandon. And so now everybody's saying, let's go Brandon at sporting events and everything like that. They're holding up signs. But what they really mean is F Joe Biden. So there you go. That's the cliff notes.
Yeah. So all the stand and he had just won. And I mean, if you know, she's there trying to she's got in her defense as a news anchor or news reporter. She's down like, I don't know, 50 feet, 60 feet from the gate where these people were up in the stands. She's got an earpiece in her ear, right? Like a producer talking to her, and she's trying to talk to Brandon, who just won the NASCAR event, right? And so she's trying to ask him questions. She's hearing like the crowd, so she tries to acknowledge it. She thinks that, I don't know, maybe she didn't. Maybe she was just trying to play it off, you know. But if you like listen kind of faintly, you could see like, oh, maybe that's what she actually thought. Like, yep. I'm defending her in this situation because most people don't know what it's like to have a producer talking in your ear, right, while you're talking to someone else. So you've got two different things, and it may be harder.
And there's ambient noise, right?
Ambient noise. I'm just saying. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so Let's Go Brandon is now the carrying cry.
Yeah, so now if you see any interviews on any of the news stations, if anybody's holding up a sign that says Let's Go Brandon, you know what they're saying. So sweatshirts are in the store.
Yeah, there you go. So now everyone understands. I know there were people in our chat saying, explaining it, and other people saying, hey, they don't read the chat. You know, people are answering it right here in the chat. Just got to scroll through and read. A lot of people are answering your question here.
There was someone in the chat who asked about the sponsor earlier again, the name of the earbuds.
Yeah, UEFITS. It's UE.com/FITS. Ultimate Ears, UE.com/FITS is the website for that.
All right, shall we discuss?
I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this story because I'm one of those people that, you know, when you're younger, I think you think, yeah, I want to live forever. Like, I don't ever want to die, right? This is amazing. I want to see everything there is to see. And then as you get into your, like, 40s and 50s, you're like,
when's this going to be over?
Yeah, you know what? Like, 90, I'm out, I'm good. And I don't really feel like coming back. You know, I think that's kind of how you get to a certain point you feel like. But now it turns out that there are a number of, I mean, this is actually an amazing story, that a lot of billionaires are funneling their money towards trying to live forever.
It's such a cliche, isn't it? Like, okay, I'm like,
is it though?
Jeff Bezos, I get a younger model, and then I have a cowboy hat and a space rocket, and I want to live forever. Soon he's gonna have a monkey, like Michael Jackson. Like, this is what you do if you're
he's gonna have a monkey.
Bonzo for Bezos.
If I swear to God, if I see Bezos go out to the launch pad in his blue jumpsuit with a cowboy hat and a monkey,
you might just. This like, was I'm Michael Jackson's thing, though. Michael Jackson was way ahead of these people. He like, had like a youth pod, remember, that he used to lay
in. That's
true.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, this is not a new idea. It's just that billionaires are now trying to bankroll it so that they can advance this technology, so that they can pay. I mean, how much would you pay to extend your life any given day? Like, if you knew you were going to die at 59, would you pay $1,000 to live another month, $1 million?
I guess it depends on why I would want to live another month, like to see my daughter walk down the aisle or something like that, you know? But just to, like, see what's next on, like, next on Netflix?
No.
Like, going to do this again?
Right.
No.
I think that, you know, this is one of the major lessons of Greek tragedies, is that immortality is what causes most of these tragedies, right? And most of the, it's like Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
Who has to, is Sisyphus the ball or the eagle?
You always get these mixed up.
I know.
Sisyphus is constantly pushing the ball up the hill.
And and the one that gets his spleen eaten by the eagle. Like, eternity is a curse. It is not a blessing. And if we've learned nothing from Greek mythology, that we can't keep the name straight, I think that's the lesson. I want nothing to do with this. Also, I would like to announce that I will not be reincarnating as a human next time. This is my last go around.
We've already said this. We're like, nope, this is our last
I'm
human experience.
Back here.
I'd go to some other dimension. I'll come back as a blue avian where I can just, you know, I'll do that. I'll go to Alpha Centauri as long as you're there. If you're
I'm
there,
going
I'll
to Atlantis.
Go. As long as you're there, I'll go.
Thank you, honey.
Okay. But no, I think the point of this story is that so now we find out that there are a number of scientists coming forward saying, look, we can live to 1,000 years old and we can basically achieve immortality. And a number of these billionaires are saying, hey, I'll give you $200 million to make this happen. $200 million. I mean, $200 million, that's what he's doing. And
is that a tax deduction?
Sergey Brin has also
done. We'll probably
done
pay for it.
Sergey Brin, the founder of Google, he's 48 years old. He's invested 600,000 pounds in a longevity lab called Calico. PayPal founder Peter Thiel has, he's 54, he's given $2 million to this research foundation. Yuri Miner, Russian tech mogul, worth $3 billion. He's given millions of pounds to science for anti-aging. They're all obsessed with this. They want to just, I feel like they just want to like grace us with their presence for the next 1,000 years.
Because they think they can do so much to change the world. I mean, it's so egotistical to think that like the world needs me and the next generation cannot do what I'm doing. And I have failed to like pass these gems of knowledge down to my kids, so I must keep living. By the way, it's Prometheus who was sentenced to the eagle eating liver because he gave fire to man.
Yeah,
that was the story.
I read a thank you for that. I read a recent book. It was a novel by Tim Tigner. I don't know how you say his last name. Tigner. Does anyone know in the chat? Tim Tigner. Has anyone read any of his books? Really fun book called The Price of Time. So I read it a few months ago, and the main sort of conceit of the book is that all of these well-to-do individuals get together and they've bankrolled basically this or these scientists kind of got together and it was bankrolled by a billionaire to come up with immortality. They figure it out, right? This is the very beginning of the book. Okay, I'm not giving anything away. They figure it out, and then of course the price of it, right? The price of having this immortality, this idea of immortality, doesn't go as well as we think it would, you know?
No, think about the Green Mile.
I don't think it would.
Think about how tragic the Green Mile was, where he has to watch all his friends pass away, and he's talking about how, you know, what that was like. Like, I've lost all my friends, my people I loved.
Well, you could just pay for all your friends to have the same experience, I suppose. Yeah.
I invest $79 a month now on longevity through Athletic Greens. So
there you go.
Okay. And I think that's a good point. Like, I don't want to live. So like when we have like Athletic Greens or we have like another, supplement that you might be taking to improve your life. Like that's so okay. If I've got 40, 50 years left here,
you want to feel good.
Then I want to feel good. I don't want to be like crippling. Oh, I can't even move my knees anymore. You know, my knees are giving out. Now you can't play with grandpa cause his arthritis is acting up. You know?
Yeah. I get it.
I don't want those words coming out of my mouth.
Yes, but I feel very put off by people who are youth obsessed.
Go on. Go on.
I will not.
I want to hear this.
This is a private conversation Clayton and I have a lot about, like, you know, that friend of yours cannot let certain things go about their youth. They don't feel like being in their 40s, and it feels like that when you are around certain people who are youth obsessed, and I find that so odious. And so
why do you find it odious? I mean, you have a problem with nostalgia basically, and you think like, okay, people sort of like living in the past.
Yes, or when I think nostalgia is more dangerous
when their face was thinner, and so they get, you know, the whatever, or
it's like this inability to accept the moment as you are. Is who wants to be around people like that, right? Who are just talking about things that happened in the past, and they cannot make the most of their life as they are, and they cannot accept what they see in the mirror. And so the conversation revolves around the past all the time. The fashion, the way that they do their hair, the way it's just like,
well, it's even like the don't ask me my age.
Yeah, you can't ask me my age.
I'm 29.
I have read, I really like Christiane Northrup's books about like women's health. She used to be an OB, and she really does not like, she thinks you should never tell people your age because they react like, you don't look 43, right? And then that's like their limiting beliefs that have just like slimed you. I'm okay with that people just don't want to discuss their age because they don't want a reaction. Fine. But I also just don't like the idea that, like, I can't be 43. I can't look 43. I don't want to look 20. I am a woman who's had 3 kids, and this is what I got, and I got to live with it. And so I don't want to be around other people that put that on me. I guess it's like a self-preservation. Like, I want to be in a place where you can be who you are, and I don't want to be around people who can't. I guess that's So maybe it's selfish of me to feel that.
I think what we need to do, I don't think we'd be able to do the show, but I think what we need to do is we need to move to Lake Titicaca and live with the Euros people. Have you seen them? They live on those man-made reed islands. They like still live like they did back hundreds of years ago. They do not care about age.
Yeah, just completely give every, well, you know, look at the people in Okinawa where we talk about this, right? The Okinawan people live to be over 100. I don't think that they're youth obsessed. You know, they're just, they live in the moment. They eat healthy. They, in fact, if anything, they admire the elders more than anything
else. Yes, but this is a natural longevity of life. We're talking about an artificial one from these billionaires. And again, I just find, like I said, youth obsession very off-putting and odious.
Well, these scientists are saying, hey, we actually think that we can actually extend life now to, not now, but we're working on it, to 1,000 years old. 1,000 years old. And it's
Walt
not
Disney
that...
is going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Or who else? Ted Williams, whose head is still in a frozen vault, right? But all these billionaires really want to keep the body from aging, you know, and want to stop as quickly as they can. Is this going to happen in 10 years, 5 years? Scientists say absolutely not, but in a quarter of a century, quite possibly, yes. And that's why they're throwing so much money at this.
But they can still be killed. They're not immortal.
Right.
Yeah. You can still hit them with a bus. Or
so I wonder if that's
them.
Bezos' obsession with space, because it's really oxidation that kills us, right? So maybe, like, if you can go to space and get out of oxygen, you potentially could live longer, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. They say the only cause of death will be bad luck and stupid mistakes. And,
like, I wonder, does anybody know, do bananas go bad in space?
I don't know how to respond to that.
What's that?
Do bananas go bad in space? Like, if you don't have, like, I know they have to have oxygen for the astronauts to breathe, but if you were to, like, let a banana sit in space, would it rot?
Let's ask Siri. Do bananas go bad in space?
Here's what I found.
No, it just gave me stuff about how to store them in the house. It's another piece of fruit. It's kept in a small space.
I wonder
bananas.
Why no one's done that. If we're going there, someone leave a banana there next.
We always ask Alexa and Siri these things, and they give us these long, drawn-out answers all the time and then try to promote something after they're done. Well, yesterday, we were curious. Jennifer and I were like, if sharks had bones. And she's like, Alexa, do sharks have bones? And then Alexa goes, sharks have bones. And that was all it said.
I would love it if you're like, hey, Alexa, you know, Alexa, do sharks have bones? And it just goes, yep.
Like, all right, yeah, stupid. Thanks. Don't ask any more dumb questions.
Like if you could get like a New Jersey attitude or something, you know, like I know you can get like Samuel L. Jackson and stuff like that. But
yeah, no, he answers Alexa. On mine sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do elephants have, you know, are elephants a mammal? Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Duh.
That's all I wanted to know. I don't need like a long, drawn-out answer.
All right. Well, let's move on. We're going to tell you what's trending next, but first we want to tell you about our show sponsor, IP Vanish. If you want to make searches that are stupid or otherwise, and you want to not be tracked on the internet, here is a good solution is to get yourself a good VPN. Maybe advertisers know a little bit too much about you. Have you ever felt like that? Our new sponsor, IPVanish VPN, will help you take back your privacy and become anonymous on the internet. That means you are anonymous. You are not the group anonymous. Just want to make that clear. You don't have to join anonymous to be anonymous. So what is IPVanish? It's a virtual private network, or VPN for short. That is a tool that helps you safely browse the internet. So you can use a VPN on your computer, on your tablet, on your phone, even your streaming media devices. This makes your data all encrypted. It means what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, and where you go, your location information also is not sent to third parties. This is important because it's none of your business what other people do on the internet. Now, listeners of the show get an incredible 65% off their annual plan. That means that's up to 6 months free. 65% off is up to 6 months free. It's super easy to use. You just click it on with a click of a button, and then it runs seamlessly in the background, helping to protect you while you're running the web. So go to ipvanish.com/invest and claim your 65% savings. Their annual plan is just $44.99 for the year. That's a good price for a VPN. It's a very competitive price for what's on the market right now. And this is the time to sign up. It's also a good gift, a good family gift as well. With our discount and the current promotion, you can get a VPN for 65% off. And this is one of the best VPNs on the market, like we said. So remember, it's ipvanish.com/invest.
Evening Sky Woodlands is asking, silly question, do we need a good VPN on our iPhones? Asking for a friend.
Yes.
Yes, you should always use it. I mean, a VPN, look, you're on public Wi-Fi, you're at the coffee shop, you're other places. I mean, it is so easy for people to get access to your information these days. Jump on a VPN. Just launch the VPN right there. It takes no time at all. And it'll just save you the heartache of identity theft and all that other stuff. So just protect yourself.
Well, and also it's like critical Spider-Man. If you're a trader or something, not a traitor, a trader of stocks and bitcoins right. and stuff, some of those you require a VPN for you to even sign up and use.
Right. Yeah. Some of the international exchanges and things that don't work in the United States, like Binance and KuCoin and Bybit and some of those, you need a VPN to do that. So, all right. All right. What's trending today? That's what we've got next lined up here on the show. These are things that are trending all over Google, all over Twitter, all over the internet.
These are things that are cool and talked about right now. And we're going to tell you so you can be cool and talk about them, too, if you so choose. Hashtag Bones Day. This is trending. It's a new TikTok trend that people go crazy about. They're saying it is akin to a daily horoscope. So what it is an elderly dog named Noodle, and he will tell us if it's a good day or a bad day coming up based on whether or not he stands up. He's a 13-year-old pup, and so his owner will like pick him up out of his little floofy, and if he stands up even for a short period of time, they're saying that this is a good day, or if he just flops back down, they're saying it's going to be a bad day. Bones has over 2 million followers through his owner, which is at John Graz. Do we have a video of Bones? Yeah,
Bones should join Punxsutawney Phil and like have Bones come out first and then like decide if it's going to be a good day and then have Punxsutawney Phil come out, you know.
And see what happens. He's like that octopus who picks the Super Bowl winners. Yeah, like that. Let's see him.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to yet another round of No Bones, the game where we find out if my 13-year-old pug woke up with bones. And as a result, we find out what kind of day we're going to have. Now, this could go either way. Noodle went on a very sprightly walk last night. So he could be tired from that. He could be totally tired from that. Or he could still be feeling jazzed from it. Oh, and he's feeling jazzed. Look at those bones. Oh, yeah, lie down. Oh, my gosh. We don't need him to use them. We just need to know they're there. Oh, okay, it's a bonus day on Monday, you guys. This is so exciting. You know what to do. You've got to treat yourself today. The Japanese fried chicken you were going to order for lunch. Get the curry to dip it in. All those festive gourds, buy them. That raise you deserve but haven't asked for yet, you totally deserve it. Ask for it. You got to treat yourself today.
That's what's going on. So, okay, his name is not Bones.
I love the internet.
His name is Noodle. But the game is whether or not he has bones.
So, do you think Grover has bones today?
I don't know. Grover.
Grover. Hi, buddy. No. He's like, hey, stop waking me up.
No.
I'm trying to sleep. Well, I did take him on a 4-mile walk this morning, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Natalie walked into the room, Clayton, and you were sound asleep and she had a camera? She's like, Clayton, you have bones?
Actually, she does that. She's like, hey, she's like, kids are up. They're ready for school. Get up.
Like, I am his alarm clock. Okay, Steve Martin is trending because of a new Hulu series starring him, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. It's called Only Murders in the Building, and it's supposed to be gold. The series finale last night, and people loved it.
Yeah, I heard these guys, Steve Martin and Martin Short, were on Howard Stern about a month ago, and they were so good. And they do these stage shows together where they tour around, and they're just hilarious together.
Yeah, I actually watched one of the stage shows, and it was pretty funny. Like, I was thinking, it's Steve Martin and Martin Short. Like, it's probably going to be cheesy, but it was actually really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen one of those, but apparently this show is very good, very well done on Hulu. I'd like to see it.
Okay, hashtag Denmark Open 2021 is trending worldwide even because this is a badminton tournament that's back. I didn't know this existed, but I very much enjoyed watching some of the early tournament footage. I was like, ooh, competitive badminton is a thing? Yes, please. You can watch some yourself on the YouTube channel. It's BFW, which I guess is Badminton Federation Worldwide or something like that. But that's fun. Have you ever played competitive badminton?
I've never played competitive badminton, but you're looking at Reading, Pennsylvania, the block that I lived on, champion.
Okay.
Of badminton of the block that I grew up on.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was only the champion of me and my sister.
Okay.
Like, I beat her.
I'm sure she would say that that is not true.
No, because I would jump up and I'd smack it down, you know, like, I was taller.
All right, fine.
But, you know, the thing is, though, I will tell you this story because it's really fascinating. We would set up the badminton net, which was like that piece of garbage net, you know? It was like, I'm sure it's killing a sea turtle somewhere. And you'd play with the bat. We had trees and, you know, like hedges next to us. With kids and then badminton and then hedges, what's going to happen is immediately you're going to lose the shuttlecock. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Whoa.
And isn't that the actual name of the badminton thing? The thing?
I think
correct
so.
Me if I'm wrong, and that's one of it's probably the best named of all balls in all sports, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Shuttlecock is a high drag projectile used in the sport of badminton. It has open
conical
shape
good,
formed
honey.
By feathers or plastic.
How'd you pull that out of thin air? You know some things.
I gotta get up pretty early in the morning to keep me down. So yes, but you'd hit them right into the bushes, and there was probably like 30 of them stuck in there that we never found. Like, we were like, Dad, you know that thing you just bought us? We lost it. All right, I guess we're not playing badminton for another season.
Well, I am in for the badminton tournament, and it goes through the weekend, so... Yeah. Yes, please, on that. Okay, Walmart Black Friday 2021 is trending already.
Walmart Black Friday?
Walmart Black Friday 2021 is trending on Google because...
A place I would never, ever want to be.
But it's not a day anymore. It's a month. It's an event. It's a whole theme of sales. Now, they've announced that they'll do a month-long Black Friday sale in November, a lot like last year. So last year, they had a reason. The pandemic had all the stores closed, and they're saying, shop online for the whole month. That worked out for them, so they're saying, let's do it the same way. Walmart Plus members will get early access. They already had some sales starting on the 17th, God help us. And there'll be three different actually big sales days. And the physical stores, though, will be closed for the second Thanksgiving ever in the history of Walmart. And people are especially excited that the Ninja Air Fryer is one of those deals. So have your mouse and your browser at the ready.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got to go, you guys.
Yeah. You got to go get the Ninja Air Fryer. My only thought on this is like, okay, is that with supply chain constraints, they're trying to spread this out over a bit of a time period. So maybe it defrays the craziness of what we're dealing with at our ports and everything else.
Right.
You know, Americans need their cheap televisions and the crappy stuff from China during the holidays. So we got to get this. We got to spread this out for a month.
We don't need the word Friday in it anymore. Yeah, it's not Black Friday.
Think about all the people that are like, you know, they're not going to get this memo because they don't have any other way. They just are used to like, hey, Black Friday, we're going shopping. And then they go line up at Walmart and they're already and they're outside the door and they open the door and they walk in and everything's gone. They're like, wait, what are we here for? What's going on?
Oh, you can pull some stuff.
Oh, what about Thanksgiving? Oh, is Thanksgiving canceled? Everyone came yesterday? I don't know.
As long as they have those cookie tins with like the sugar Danish cookies and the little doilies, then I'm fine.
Love those.
Just get me
the one that's shaped like a pretzel. Yeah. But it's not a pretzel. It's a cookie.
It's a sugar cookie. I like that.
It always tricks me.
Yeah.
All right, what else is coffee?
Kanye West is trending because the rapper got formal approval from a judge to change his name to Ye. I'm assuming you say it that way, not Ye, because it's like a derivation of Kanye, and he just wants to go by Ye. He has no middle or last name now. He's like Cher or...
Prince.
Madonna, or Prince.
I guess.
Or Prometheus.
I guess Kardashian is probably like, man, I'm glad I got out of there when I did.
I guess. Point. I mean, you don't want to be Mrs. West if your husband is not West, right?
So now is Twitter going to have to give him at Ye?
At Ye?
Well, he announced this on Twitter, but you see his handle is still Kanye West. You can change your... It's probably not available. Maybe he can ask for it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Kanye. I mean... he's a blue check mark. If it's taken by somebody that's not a blue check mark, Twitter's probably going to be like, here you go. You can't have this anymore.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's fine. Be what you want to be.
All right. Do you.
And finally, blue moon or full moon. Full moon is trending because tomorrow's...
We skipped over all this.
We didn't do those stories, actually. Those were not trending. That's just what you're interested in.
No, you put them in there.
I put them in. So what Clayton's referring to is all the new Apple products. They are not trending. Only in his head are they trending. And
hello, if you go to Google Trends.
And mine.
Yeah, if you go to trends.google.com, it's one of the top trending topics.
Is it really? Maybe it was yesterday.
It was this morning.
Okay. I did not include the new Apple products, but you can read about them in the newsletter. So full moon is trending because tomorrow is a full moon in the zodiac sign of Aries, and it will be a powerful one. So make your manifestations and your notes and do all your whatever magic you want to do. Maybe on the eve of the full moon. Tonight.
When is the full moon?
Tonight? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah. It was tonight.
It's on our anniversary, so I hope we don't get into a fight.
James says, Clayton, Natalie's the boss. I know. But she's wrong about the trending thing on it. I mean, look at number one on Google. So, but this, yes, it was Monday. So trending all throughout the afternoon yesterday was Apple.
Okay. But not today.
But not the 19th. It's not the top. Okay. Anyway. Full moon, full Monty.
Yeah, we had a full moon last night, so it must be heading your way tonight.
That's not how that works.
Yeah, we had a storm front move through. It's moving your way now. Yeah, Cassiopeia, the constellation, is probably it's going to head your way. So, yeah, we should quickly mention this since we were talking about it. New MacBooks Pro rolled out yesterday, the 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pros.
What, you haven't watched the keynote yet?
No, he ordered one, and then he's like, oh, maybe I preemptively ordered it. I'm going to wait. And so, yeah.
Oh.
So 16-inch MacBook Pro with his new crazy fast chips, ridiculous chips in them. The new M1 Pro and M1X or Max. Also, they announced new AirPods, the new AirPod designs, AirPod Generation 3, plus these new HomePods as well, the new colorful HomePod Minis. And my little girl last night is like, wow, Daddy, when can I get one of those?
Really affordable, actually.
Like $99.
Yeah, but you know, they had to price them so that you could put them in your main room so that they can speak to each other. I was surprised at that low price point. So that's nice.
And they rolled out a new price point for getting Apple Music. It's called their voice plan. So it's just $4 a month, $4.99 a month now. You can just activate anything that you can think of just with your voice. So, which is interesting. So I don't think you can like launch the actual app. We don't know how it's going to work exactly.
You already could ask, like, hey, Siri, play this song.
Right. But now...
So I'm not clear on how it's different.
But now instead of, like, going into the music app and, like, kind of making playlists and curating stuff and doing all that, you won't have access to that. You'll just have access to the voice version of the music. So, hey, play the latest Adele album. You could do that, but you couldn't go in and, like, create your own Adele playlist or something, I guess. I don't know. Honestly, Apple didn't talk about...
I'm not very clear on it at all.
I don't either, but they used Zane Lowe yesterday. That was his first keynote appearance, Zane Lowe, who's on Apple Music or at the Beats stuff. Anyway, that was the Apple event yesterday.
You can read more about that in the newsletter. We hope you are subscribed. We put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it, so head on over to morninginvest.com. Make sure you sign up for the free newsletter. You get those and other... topical stories, some topical, some not so topical, some points of interest, some little tidbits. It's full of everything. It's like a full meal of news.
Yeah,
it's good
right there.
It's a steady diet.
Morninginvest.com. Go and subscribe. I should also mention we've got, I have on my Clayton Morris channel, speaking of, I've got all sorts of alerts about different trades. Crypto and trading, covering specifically investing on my youtube.com/Clayton Morris channel, just Clayton Morris. I've got a new show that I'm launching over there that I'm working hard on right now, around trading. So many of you have been asking about that. I wanted to make sure you can't, the problem is with these channels and YouTube and the algorithm, you can't shove all of this stuff into one channel. So I've got my paranormal post channel. You got to keep this stuff separate. So if you want to come over to the Clayton Morris channel, be covering different trading and different things that I'm going to be doing over there that I'm excited about launching and working on. And my Bitcoin mine, the Bitcoin mine is up and running right now with the first miner.
On solar energy.
Running on solar power. This is super exciting. So yeah, follow me over there if you want to see what's
Poor
going
kid.
On with that. Poor kid. Solar?
So the miner.
Oh. David, where can we find you?
I am at youtube.com/overlandgeeks. And I'm actually working today on taking everything from my closet and from my laundry basket and putting all of my clothes in a big pile. And I'm getting rid of almost all of my clothes. So I'm minimizing and overlanding. So if you want to follow that journey, head over there.
Okay, but you have to wear clothes to this show.
I'm going to keep a couple t-shirts, my tank tops.
All right, this is not a nudist show. We have some requirements here.
Not okay. much.
Yeah, very viewers can be nude. You can't.
Yeah.
With your cameras on. But.
Yeah, that's
pantsless.
A good point.
Okay.
I'm going to have my Jay Giles, my tank tops. So.
Okay, soon he'll just be in a toga or a towel, a towel on his head, like the Go-Go's. A towel around him.
Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Grover says thank you for watching. He's really appreciative. He's just exhausted from all of this work that he's had to do today. He loves you. He thanks you for tuning in.
Do we have
in.
Super chats?
Oh, do we have any super
yeah,
chats? Kate,
oh, okay. Does Brandon mean you are pro-Trump? No, it just because you're anti-Biden doesn't mean you're pro-Trump. There's a lot of people that were disillusioned by Biden and are like regretting their vote, but that definitely does not, because I don't really like Biden either with what everything's going on, and I don't like Trump either. So does not mean that at all.
Yeah, and also we like comedy. And we like to laugh, and I like internet memes. And so, you know, you can have fun with some of these fun internet memes as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is that the only super chat?
Yeah, YouTube is giving me issues here. Hold on a second.
You've had issues before YouTube.
Yeah. Just a couple, though. Yeah, that's KT, that's the only super chat today.
Well, we appreciate it very much.
And if you're not yet subscribed to the channel, please subscribe to the channel. Please just hit that little subscribe button. Turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified when we go live. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time, everyone. Until then, be safe, be kind to each other, and watch out for that full moon.